Give me something, Garrett.
How do you turn this thing on?
It's already
it's
on.
It's always on. Just don't turn it off.
All right, let's get her going here in 3, 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Peter Pixie, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
And welcome to another episode of Comic Pop License to Read. I am Richard, along with
April,
Logan,
Garrett,
and we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And today we are going to be looking at the book by Yvonne Ventresca, Pandemic. And we have to thank Rebecca Gross from SoCal Public Relations for sending us some reader copies to look at the book and do the podcast on. So thank you, Rebecca, for doing that for us. And thank you, Yvonne, for forwarding us to your agent. And we will skip over here. Let's see. In Pandemic, it's actually a 2014 book. I believe it's actually out to purchase at this point in time. To be honest, I forgot to look at Amazon to see if it was ready. But I'm pretty sure it was. It's pretty much a complete novel. Some of the story is pretty much self-explanatory with the title, Pandemic. And just to give a rundown of some of the few key characters that we'll be talking about is Lillian Snyder. She's the lead character, and she usually goes by Lily. Jay Martinez, who's the new kid in town. Megs, who's her best friend. Kayla, another.
Who is Lily's best friend?
Megs?
Yes, you didn't say Lily. Specify.
Kayla, who is kind of, sort of, Lily's best friend. Ethan, a former boyfriend. Keith Snyder, her dad.
Lily's former boyfriend.
Yes. And Mrs. Hernandez, who is, I think, Meg's mother, if I remember right.
No,
Jay's. That's Jay's aunt.
Jay's aunt.
And then we have
Meg's
Ty.
Meg's mom is a cop.
Yes, that's right. And I don't have her name down, actually. And we'll kind of get into that. Ty's brother of Jay, Cam, who's a daughter of a neighborhood that Lily babysits. And TK is a little baby in the story. And to get the story going, we start out just describing the book in general. The cover, I kind of like the cover. I like how...
I have mixed emotions over it.
Oh, no.
Because I think the bird made out of birds is really cool. And I like the color scheme, the blue hues in there. It's really interesting, but I don't like the word font. I don't mind how it's spaced on the page.
You just don't like the
font. I don't like the font. It reminds me of a bad 90s cover. You know, I've just never enjoyed that type of font. It's like, ugh.
It's one of those, because it grabs me, because if I saw it on a shelf... And didn't see Pandemic, what type of cover would you have for that?
Well, no, I like the... Instead of doing that font, I would have just done white bold. Like, take out the shadows.
You don't like the shadow?
Take out the shadow and make it pure white instead of that off creamy, nudish thingy.
It didn't bother
thingy.
Me. I kind of... I'm from the 90s.
Yeah. Not from the 90s. You just lived in it.
We're from the 90s.
We don't remember any of it, but we were.
True. But to continue on with the font, going into the interior, I like the fact, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it's almost in a large print type.
It's humongo.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
See, maybe, I'm the opposite. It made the book go faster.
Maybe that's why the title is on the three lines.
I felt like...
because they accidentally upped the font of...
You think?
Up the size of font by quite a big factor.
I felt like I was reading a 1-2-3 book or a C. Jane run type book, you know?
Now that font's much bigger.
No, but I feel like it. Logan, stop mocking me.
Okay.
Because this is why I hate people.
Well, one of the things that I liked was at the beginning of each chapter, there's a little blurb from like a government official or an interview or somebody. And
that's
just
how I knew what the food was called before the end of the first page of the second chapter.
Wait, it's talk in your microphone.
Oops. It's just some flavor text to kind of see what other people are thinking about the story. And it's always kind of interesting for me when they do that.
Yeah, I like it. And Dad kind of pointed out that's made up stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's special too, the blue flu.
Well, some of it's
which
true.
Is really cool.
The key part of it is, not to give spoilers away, but at the end of the book, it gives you what those brief segments are. I don't know if you call it or not, Garrett. But
there's a reference section.
No. In the last chapter, it actually explains what those little
references are. We're talking about the artistic
from.
Here, not the... There. No, okay, but in the book, Jay does a sort of blog on the internet, and you know, she kind of makes the print darker.
Right.
There's a distinguish, and the font size of his blog articles, I think, is the right size font for their whole book.
Let's see, like I said, it didn't bother
me. I feel like she's like looking down, like, yeah, I know you can't read well. So please, I'm going to make this as easy as possible. And I'm like, I don't need your help. I can read. Because you said...
No, I don't think that's the purpose.
I know, but it's just the feel like it.
That's you personally.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But it's a really good book. Because you said it was, what, for 12 and up?
That's what the recommended
reading
age on the flap.
That's about 7th grade and up, you know.
And to encourage maybe reluctant readers, they'd be more apt to read something that's faster, and being large print, it does feel like it goes faster.
And for that reluctant reader, it's got some down home earth stuff, like the text speak, and you know, when the two girls are texting back and forth.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I think that's probably going to be that new thing now in books, because I've never really seen it before in official books. Mm-hmm.
And to get into the main gist of the story. Start discussing it is, and there's no secret about this, like Logan said, it's mentioned early on, there is a pandemic. Probably what I thought was a little haha, I don't know if she did it on purpose or that's just what she did, but the blue flu is what the pandemic is over, and that's a bird flu. Well, it starts in, by the book stating, it starts in Avian, Maryland. And is not avian the term for birds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, that's cool. But the full setting of the book is not in Maryland. It's actually in Portico, New Jersey. So this is basically a microcosm of what's happening throughout the eastern coast of the U.S. is what I felt.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit overseas, but mainly on the east coast.
I didn't get overseas. I think overseas was just afraid of it getting there. I got main focus in the eastern part of the U.S. and spots throughout the rest of it, but not as big as
the eastern. Whole world.
Yeah, and not as focused as in the east. It was just like maybe a couple patches or loosely.
Was that your feel?
I definitely think that overseas, since it started in eastern U.S., the overseas had time to kind of prepare for it and say, anybody who has flu-like symptoms, nope, go away. They had global quarantines because her mother was in quarantine in Hong Kong.
True, forgot about that.
Right. And so it kind of ended up that it was a global problem, but the main problem was just with this one character in this one small town.
Yeah.
And you get to focus on the slightly paranoid one.
What?
True. She's the ever the so Lily.
Paranoid because of the okay.
Yeah.
Trauma type.
Lily is a popular name for book characters.
So, yeah, I know.
I've read it in so many books.
Okay.
Harry Potter's
it's
mother.
Weird. I don't know about that. I'm not much of a pothead. No, I mean, it's just everywhere.
I haven't noticed. The books I read, they're not in it that often, so can't answer that question. But the, like Logan said, Lily is the main character. She's a little bit paranoid, but she didn't start out that way. Nope. And you get that in a little bit of a backstory. And they kind of rush this through.
You get it in the front flap before you start reading the book. Yeah, you true, don't keep it a secret.
True, but it actually doesn't mention the reason for it, I don't think.
Well, no, it just, she went through a traumatic experience, and she is trying to recover. And
it gets that within part
of her
three chapters.
Part of
say
her,
that again, you're mumbling a little.
And they get that traumatic experience
yeah.
shown over in, I think, the first three chapters.
Legit, I knew right. that. I seriously knew the traumatic experience before I even, like, I don't know if I even picked it up, because you told me about the storyline, Dad, before I picked it up, and I was like, I can guess that traumatic experience.
Yeah.
What else is going to happen?
The author doesn't exactly hide it.
No. It's not the main gist of the story, it's just a piece of the story.
But important.
And it's one of her, it is important because it triggers a little bit of her paranoia.
Yeah, so
because
she...
Because it plays throughout the whole book, and it right. keeps her paranoid.
Oh, yeah, a way for her to cope for it was to, like, start preparing for the natural disasters and be watching all the news and all the medical stuff, making
stocking
sure.
up on food.
Yeah.
She's preparing. A doom prepper.
Yeah, and that comes in comes in relatively handy.
Helped along by the fact that her dad works in the...
Oh.
Yeah.
CDC?
Yeah.
No, he's a journalist. He doesn't actually work for the CDC.
True, but he works with it.
Works.
Yeah.
Follows it, but he doesn't actually, he's not on their paycheck.
Well, I think he is. I think he just went to the conference and was a journalist for it. I mean.
And he had the
pills.
Vials?
Yeah, the cure.
Well, that was his own paranoia.
Or not the cure, the whatever.
So it's one of those where.
Yeah, that was kind of a, like, oh,
kinda handy.
Your dad happens to work for this disease thing or work alongside, if you, that's how you saw it.
That's why,
what a coincidence.
And that's
what?
Why we're following her instead of some other random person.
True. And Jay Martinez being the new, well, let's go back to Lily. She started out a little damaged, but she wasn't that way to begin with. She was kind of happy-go-lucky. She worked with charities, but because of the traumatic experiments, and we might as well say it because there's no hiding it in the
yeah.
book, it was a sexual assault by one of her teachers.
Yeah.
And that trauma has made her revert into herself. She started smoking. She's dressing in black. She's basically become the loner and outcast from what she was. Mm-hmm. And she's only told... her two best friends, Megs and Kayla.
Yeah.
And they splits the friendship.
Yeah, Kayla didn't believe her, so.
Kayla didn't believe her because the teacher was hot. Kayla, I could smack you.
Yeah, to be honest, I was kind of getting the impression that Mr. B had tried this with other girls and Kayla had accepted it. That was my impression, although.
I don't think he had tried it, but Kayla, you know, she, in her own little fantasy world, was like, why is that a bad thing? You know, I don't.
He can't do no wrong.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Considering that she already had a boyfriend, that might be a thing.
Considering that it was a student teacher, underage.
She was a minor. She said no.
Sexual assault right. thing. There's a lot more than a boyfriend.
Mr. B did this wrong
I'm
on several
about,
counts.
I'm talking about just by Kayla's point of view.
Oh,
yeah, you might say that, but she does already have a boyfriend. Why would she be going after somebody else?
Oh. True, but I think she did kind of have feelings that Lily kind of brought it on a little bit herself, too, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe that's
yeah she's
where
like, why did you egg it on?
Or lied.
Right. And the boyfriend Logan's talking about is now Ethan. A former boyfriend, and it's Ethan, who's not the poster child by any means. He's slightly stalkerish.
He's a jerk.
So, just by her talking about him beforehand, texted her all the time, pretty much was there by her side all the time, didn't let go very much.
He was so clingy.
And became a jerk, yes.
Honestly, I don't think I could stand that type of boyfriend. That's like such a chick, like needy.
That's such a chick.
If I wanted to date a chick, I'm going to date a chick. That's not why I would need a boyfriend.
Coming from the one girl in this group.
Well, I know. I mean, it's like, yeah, they can have their sensitive sides and whatever too, but be your own independent man. Or like...
And she did not tell Ethan about it. She just broke up. They went.
Yeah, she lies. Like basically iced him out till it was like, okay, well, I guess we're not anything anymore.
And then enters Jay Martinez, the new kid in town, of course. And he's a smoker. And they meet at the smoking pole that's on the school grounds.
It's 1 foot away.
Like, wow.
It's 1 foot away.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's realistic.
Well, no, actually, it kind of is. Because if they're caught smoking on school property, they can get suspended or expelled. But if they're off of school property...
But a teacher can still go out there and chew their butt and pull them onto school property.
Well,
we wouldn't stay.
That's a fuzzy area.
Yes,
there.
That is.
Exactly. That's why I wouldn't have put the smoking spot there.
And throw it away before you get dragged onto school property. If you actually leave it on long enough for your teacher to do that...
Well, I don't know. How old are these kids? Are they the typical 16 or are they the 18, 17?
I think they're 15 or 16.
16 is what I kind of
pictured. So there's another thing that's going to stop him. Crap. That's not going to stop him, but kind of run into traffic. I mean.
Well, kids will smoke. They'll have people buy stuff for them.
No, yeah, I know. I'm talking. Oh, my God.
Seeing the smoking pole, the foot off, that's not too unrealistic either in a city system. I mean, that's
pretty common too. Is this a city?
10,000 people.
I didn't get the size. Maybe I just heard Portico, New Jersey.
I mean, even
I didn't hear the size or read it then. I must have forgotten that.
But the main gist is almost in the one neighborhood, not even in the town per se, just the one neighborhood.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And it's the experiences of Lily, her friends, and going kind of a day in the life of each day.
Yeah, I like it because...
Through the flu.
Because the story, it has some, you know, it has the major, you know, survival stuff in there. You gotta survive the pandemic. But it also has the petty teenage drama in there. And then it's kind of cool because it makes you realize, like, life does go on after something huge. People still do worry about those little things.
I'm not sure about the rest of the story because... I actually didn't read this all the way through.
This was not Logan's type of book.
Or at least not while there were other stuff around. Sure. But Jay was the new one, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jay did have at least one very creepy point, too.
What?
When she was going for Meg to say, yeah, she can't make it, she's sick. Remember that?
After chatting online with Megs.
Yeah.
Well, he thought Lily was the one chatting, not me.
I was going to say, Jay has this crush on Lily.
It's not truly his fault the way he's been kind of, it's not quite catfishing, but.
No, he wasn't catfishing because he wasn't lying about anything and he wasn't giving off fake photos. But it was an online, I don't say dating, but they were online flirting a bit, you know.
Right.
Like seeing like, hey, could this go somewhere in real life?
And
Meg lets her do, what, two lines of text?
Right, during a sleepover, Lily converses a little bit, but she doesn't know it's Jay either. That's anonymous type stuff. And then they set up a meet and greet, and Meg's...
sick,
like you said, gets sick, and she begs Lily to go and see, and they'll know him by a certain book he's holding.
And it was Jay.
And it was Jay. Dun, dun, dun. And it's like, oh, you're who it is. And she's like, no.
Meg.
It's not. And that's another conflict through the whole story because she starts having feelings for Jay.
I actually liked that Jay was like, I don't even care if I was talking to Meg. I still like you. You know, even though, I mean, no, I think it's really cool though because I think when he was like, I started thinking it was you when you said so and so. And it's funny because the part he was talking about was the part that Lily...
Wrote in.
Yeah.
And that's why he kept it going.
Yeah. And that was Lily trying to imitate Meg's in her little write-in, too.
True.
Hated how Meg was more catfishing more than Jay was.
Yeah.
Because she kept making up stories. You know, scenarios or things she liked, disliked to make herself sound more interesting. I was just like...
Yeah, she needed a negative. So Lily put in that she was overly pessimistic.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, and that was why
Yep.
But the fact that Lily put that in, I was like, that's right. That means Jay actually did.
And Kaylee gets a And later on in the book, you mentioned that Kayla has a moment with Lily, basically saying, back off of Jay. So there's that pettiness still there that, you know.
But I don't think it was over Megs because she didn't know Megs.
No, it was over Jay.
Cause yeah, because she was like, why do you get everything? I hate you so much. Kayla, go die. She about did. Darn it. I was looking forward to that one, and then it didn't happen.
And then another dick move that teenagers, I don't know if they always do, but Ethan, when he's trying to reconcile with Lily at the front door, and they actually lean in and do kiss, and the door opens, and there's Jay, and he gets all huffy-puffy and come to find out he had rung the doorbell.
Yeah, because Jay was like, you could have just come in, and Lily was like, what? We didn't ring a doorbell or nothing. I was like, Ethan, why did they kiss? Was that a mutual thing?
Ethan kissed her.
That's what I thought. She didn't kiss back. Think it was a mutual thing, because Lily was like, the crap.
It's kind of one of those where he's trying to re-spark the interest in her.
Or if nothing else, get Jay off.
Ethan is weirdo.
I think probably more to do get the Jay going. Back off, she's still mine type of deal.
Yeah, that was
But I thought that was ridiculous. a dick move. That's just, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know if other teenagers usually do that, but that's pretty bad.
I didn't like Ethan. I didn't like Kayla. I think that's it.
You think that's it? Yeah. There's Ty.
I mean, Meg's, I think Meg's annoyed me, but I didn't hate her.
She at least listened to her friend.
Yeah, she was a good friend. She was just not my type of friend. She was too preppy.
Preppy peppy?
Yeah, too much prep pep. Oh, that prep pep.
But throughout the neighborhood, the teenagers organize kind of like a group response to check on houses to see if there's kids. Because Lily did find, what was the baby's
name? TK. In her neighbor's house.
I would say there's no death scenes, but there's death in the book and a little bit of description because TK's mother is in the house, but they don't go into detail about what she looks like.
She's slumped
in
the rocking chair dead.
Right.
And it just says she has blue skin.
Right.
Yeah. Which is where the name of the flu comes from.
Blue flu.
So she has the baby for probably about a quarter of the book.
I'd say at least a third. I'd say most of it. Yeah.
And then the grandmother comes in and takes him and thanks her and all this. So people are still moving around. It's not a strict quarantine like you would think.
Yeah, she was able to order food online.
And get delivered.
And get delivery, which I mean.
Technology.
Yeah, they never really did a quarantine in the U.S.
I thought that was kind of a stretch when the guy came like straight up to the door and just like the mask. I was like, oh. I don't know if that's the.
Yeah, there would be a little bit more general paranoia.
Yeah, more restriction. I mean, I think she would be able to get it, but I don't think the delivery guy would just march up there with just his mask on.
And that's nothing to say that the looters wouldn't stop him.
True.
Because there's looters all over the place.
Because they're like, we don't want to get in there.
And they say the police aren't doing anything because they're trying, I mean, the dead and the sick are so...
They're swamped.
Swamped that they can't go out there, but I'm basing this off movies and stuff. But in the movies, you know, the military's even going in and making sure there's a quarantine. And if it's a town, trying to keep it within the town and not letting it spread where, like you said, just a delivery person coming in.
I mean, there was more quarantine at Lily's dad's hotel than there was around that whole town.
Like Garrett said, her mother in Hong Kong, she couldn't leave the airport.
Or it took forever and it was just like, you had to pull teeth out.
Well, quarantining Portico wouldn't have done any good because it is already spread out all over the place.
You see that? He says Portico. You say Portico.
Wasn't it?
This is another difference.
Because wasn't it after the starting outbreak of flu? Not quite hit it, but after the flu had started out, that they did the
food delivery.
No, the
quarantine.
No,
it's stuck. It'll come.
In
3 year day.
Yeah, after the
God.
Yeah.
Lily, okay, that's so unrealistic. Not the actual career day, because nobody was really aware of the sickness, but Lily going to it. So unrealistic.
She did it for Megs.
No, that is so unrealistic. If she has gone through her traumatic experience and she is that whole germaphobe, doomsday prepper, she's not going to go to that.
More likely she'd just trap Megs at home than go with her.
Yeah, no. That's ridiculous. Well, they had I can never see that.
They had to start the story forward.
Yeah, somehow. I know, but I cannot see that happening at all.
But throughout the story, Lily is by herself throughout the whole story. She does have her friends and neighbors that kind of help out. She has an elderly gentleman.
Reggie.
Yeah. Okay, that kind of comes in and out. The senior center kind of comes in and out.
The senior center became sort of the daycare.
For the little kids.
Because it was little kids and the older people that were less susceptible to it.
It said in the book, it said it affected people between 14 years of age to 50 the worst. And the ones younger or older were in the lesser categories. So it could happen, but
not as much.
Not right. Yeah. But this is one that, what was I going to say?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You got distracted by a pink microphone.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it is dated a little bit, the book. It does take place pretty much modern day. And the reason it doesn't give a date per se, but they mention it does take place after Hurricane Sandy because it is referred to within the book at one point that New Jersey hasn't seen a devastation like this since Hurricane Sandy. So it does date it a little bit, but not enough to really throw it too much. But 20 years from now, 40 years from now,
they'll be like, whoa, this is so old.
They might because of that one reference.
Well, I did like the Midwest's response. Okay, I didn't like, but I remembered it. The Midwest response to that, because the Midwest had sent so much help to New Jersey during Hurricane Sandy. But they wouldn't send help for this because, as one Midwesterner said, hurricanes aren't contagious.
True.
Yeah, that was so. I was like,
that's actually pretty sensible.
That's a good point.
You can drop off a few things by air, but don't actually go in the place. Because,
it is
contagious. So.
The writing style, I think, was perfect for seventh grade. It was easy enough. I think they could read it. But what do you think about
content?
The maturity content level?
Zero. I don't consider a mention of death. Because when I was in seventh grade, I read Speak. And it was a class project, Speak. My dad said book Speak. And Speak
has
so much more mature content than Pandemic does.
What about you? Do you see? Well, just on not saying it's happening, but most people's perception.
I think it has.
I don't have a problem with a seventh grader reading this. I have a problem with a fourth grader reading this.
Well, yeah.
But it, you know, there's nothing in there that a seventh grader wouldn't know about. They kiss. They know about that. People die. Seventh graders know. I mean, it's not like it doesn't get into the whole, like, scientific breakdown of everything that's going on that a seventh grader wouldn't understand. And there's nothing in there that a seventh grader that would really scare a seventh grader.
Yeah.
There was a part that I cried about.
Uh-oh.
But I didn't ever get scared.
What'd you cry about?
Well,
is there anything worth crying about?
There is definitely something worth crying. When Lily first meets TK, TK is about 9 months old. I happen to have a 9 month old, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is exactly how it would happen.
It could so happen. Yeah.
When you're a parent,
different. Okay.
Your mentality shifts a little bit when you're a parent.
But yeah, one thing I do want to touch on, since we're talking about content, blah, blah, blah. When it gets to the whole sexual assault thing, I wish she would have, this author, Yvonne. Darn it.
Sorry.
I knew it was YV. I think she should have done either a different traumatic experience or done more of this traumatic experience.
But if she would have went into more detail of the experience, then it probably would have kicked it up a little bit to a higher level.
Yeah, I don't think she should have done more detail. I just think there should have been more there.
Well, when I was reading that, I was cheering Lily for getting out of there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I get it's a traumatic experience. It's going to trigger some coping, but to cope to that magnitude, I think for this book deserves a bit more.
It's not so much that she's coping with the specific actions of the teacher. She's coping with the severe, severe loss of trust. She loved him. Right. But not in that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, I get that. But I think for somebody to figure that out, there should have been more push there to...
Again, I think her audience she was writing to probably dictated that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that just got... I just didn't like that. I was just like, eh.
Like I mentioned earlier, and Garrett kind of alluded to it as well, is you know, the deaths. There wasn't a gruesome scene, or, you know, they weren't foaming at the mouth and blood coming out of their noses and eye sockets and all, you know, and out the backside, you know, all these nice things when
all
you
the
have
boils popping.
So she, I think
yeah.
her intent was to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame her for writing for her audience.
No, I just feel like.
So, and to me, I can see some parents maybe still being a little shy about this book just from experience. But for the most part, I agree with what Garrett said, what you said, April, about
give your kids some freedom.
They see this every day almost.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to get into parenting here, and we're going to get into actual life. You know, I get you want to keep your kids safe, keep your kids sheltered. I don't know. I'm not a parent. Give them some free space. Give them some wiggle room, you know. Because honestly, I feel like looking around my eyesight, my eye level, where I'm with my peers, I feel like the kids that had more, not really loose rules, but a little more wiggle room than the ones that were really, really protected, sheltered when they were little, or
sometimes
have turned out better.
Sometimes the more protected ones turn out wilder.
Helicopter parents.
Yeah. Sometimes it backfires. It's like, crap. Yeah.
Which is why we're now, instead of having helicopter parents, have teacup kids. Because they're so fragile and you can't break them, because then they'll just shatter and they'll be worthless.
Screw that. Wow.
Everybody gets a medal.
Oh my
gosh.
Sound effects as necessary.
And the blue flu, it does take a devastating swipe.
Yeah,
it
people
died. Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, they were like, the morgues backed up. We're stacked. Yeah, it was like a whole black plague, kind of.
Right, it's kind of mainly contained on the East Coast. And I don't think it goes south too much, but I think a little New Jersey and up, maybe just a smidgen south.
I think it alludes to other parts of the country being ready for it, but it doesn't ever specifically say it goes to Kansas or California.
Well, yeah, I think it alludes to, and I think they said there were maybe like one or two outbreaks, like the start of it, but it was so late in the game that they could get it under control, or it didn't spread as well.
And other towns were just completely missed.
Yep. And unless she wants to really stretch it, I see this as a one-off novel.
Yeah, I wouldn't do another book.
She did leave an opening to do a sequel with possibly either the same character, or she could go to somebody else. Because if you remember, they make mention
of a second wave.
Second wave coming through.
I just don't, it doesn't feel right.
If it is a sequel, she might shift it to a different person possibly, instead of keeping with Lily. Because if she keeps it with Lily, I think that'd be stretching it a little bit
way
more.
Too much
her
drama.
Story's done.
Right, I think her story's done.
Now, I actually kind of would like to see this, because I've seen a lot of, apocalypse.
Movie?
No, well, just anything. I've seen a lot of apocalypse literature or movies, or here's what's going to happen when an apocalypse happens. I kind of want to see something that's 10 years after an apocalypse, 15 years after, just to see how society is rebuilding and recovering.
See the everyday life.
Yeah.
And I like seeing all that too. I love everyday life things.
We've already got both.
Do we?
Yeah.
What's that? What's the other side?
No, I meant the during the apocalypse and 10, 15 years after the apocalypse. I've seen multiple stories about that as well.
But usually there's like a dry. There's a lot of drama going on. Or there's a main goal or something. We just want an everyday life.
Yeah.
This one, to me personally, was a slow book, but she put enough in there to keep me interested, to keep me going.
Yeah, like,
because there's not a whole lot of action. Well, I'm talking about action. It's more of a drama type story.
Guns blazing.
No.
Good Lord.
She does, you know, there are looters. And I think it's very interesting when Lily receives a phone call and the only thing on the other end is cough, cough. That was, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah.
I think, was that when she thought it was Mr. B?
No. Well, she was concerned that Mr. B was calling her, because he already had, but Mr. B was not the person coughing.
Well, people survive. They do get antibiotics and do survive, but there are some people that die.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get attached to a character, there's not necessarily a guarantee for a character making it through, because it is a pandemic. So in that regards, she tries to treat the story fairly.
Yes.
So there's no great hurrah at the end. It's just, we survived.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
well,
fine.
There was nothing in the book to hurrah about. I mean, not that it was in a good book, but yeah, like you said, it didn't have those big action.
But it was written in a way that kept me interested. And it was written simple and enough and entertaining enough to keep me going. Because I've read other books that are slow
and boring.
Drama and boring, and I just got to put it down. But this one, it was slow, but I understood it was more of a drama, but she kept it interesting enough. This came in, and then this came in, and this came in. It wasn't high action, but she kept the story pacing fast enough with the changes in Lily's life.
That you didn't notice as much.
Right. It went by faster.
Yeah.
For any libraries, I think this would be fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's well written.
There's nothing even a censor would care about.
It was fine. I don't
think
so.
Yeah, small, medium, large. If, you know, kids are kind of into this right now with Divergent and just went blank Hunger Games.
I was like, you don't go blank on Hunger Games.
This could kind of be the, you know, the before of the Divergent or Hunger Games type story. This is the beginning of a society that might be in crumbles. So you might kind of get kids into the story that way.
I wonder what the next new wave's going to be. Not like pandemic wave, like the new wave of book themes.
Well, we've kind of exhausted zombies. Werewolves, vampires.
Not very much.
Stephanie Meyer killed vampires, period. Done.
She didn't
no question.
Kill them because nobody else tried to do her thing, thank God.
Exactly.
You know? But I feel like they could there could be a supernatural wave just of better written stuff. And then we've done the apocalyptic stuff. We've done romance when they had the whole Nicholas Sparks machine gun.
Maybe we should go back to something like Hatchet.
Hatchet was a good book. I hated it when I read it. but it wasn't because of the book. I actually liked the book.
Something funny. Oh, well. The Hatchet series, its third or fourth book is actually an alternate reality of its second.
Okay, I haven't read them, so I couldn't comment
on
that.
That's just from reading the facts. I think I read the first two.
Well, let's get back on pandemic.
Well, no, I actually want to say the topic of this one. I liked Hatchet, the book, and I liked the storyline. But we read it in fourth grade in my math class. I don't even know why we were doing it. And she had it on a cassette, and she would go over to the wall and press play, and everybody had their book open, and we just listened to it. And I hate listening. And then she's like,
class?
Yeah, I don't know why. She just pulled it out, and she's like, we're going to listen to Hatchet. And I was like, okay.
The mysteries of public education.
She was broadening your horizons.
No joke.
But anyway, one of the things Garrett pointed out before we leave off on this, and again, I say any library can pick this up. Please do. It's a good book, I think.
I like it a lot.
Everybody would like it. But one of the things Garrett mentioned, and I want to mention again before we leave out, there is a resource guide in the back of this book. And some of the resources are for sexual assault and disaster preparedness. So they even have some of that. So if even a teacher wanted to do something with this book, there's some resources there to even conduct a partial class with it if she wanted to dedicate something to it.
Maybe math.
Yes, maybe math.
Throw in some science. That should be your next chemistry class.
If you have homeschoolers out there, it'd be one that you could use to possibly to bring in some educational elements to your kids with. I forgot to mention earlier that this is a Sky Pony Press publication as well. But were you going to say something there, Garrett, about the references as well?
Well, if nothing else, it talks about the importance of saying no.
I skip over all that. Adults,
hopefully not saying no.
Adults, no. I just get straight to it. I don't even care. No reference pages, man.
Well, it's
unless you got a weird kid, you know, we skip over that. Not weird in a bad way, but just different.
Well, that's why I said skip over teachers.
Well, the references here, they're not like, here's the research that I did to write this book.
We skip over that too.
It's stuff that you can actually use if you're in a situation.
If it's not the book, if it's not the story.
April's a bit weird in that she'll skip. Was it the prequels or the
epilogues?
And that makes no sense.
No.
She skips prequels.
Last chapter. I read epilogues.
Okay,
because I like that kind of. I skip prequels because I think it gives away the book, and I'm like, why am I even reading this?
The zeroth chapter, or in other words,
I think the term you're looking for is prologue, not prequel.
Yeah, probably.
I just don't.
I mean, we've got epilogue, right? Nothing sequel.
Next, we're going to talk about epicles.
Well, that's like the other when we had like a tornado siren Tuesday. I'm not going to say a date. We had a tornado siren a couple days ago, And, you know, and we get over it and all that. And I was talking to this lady and I was like, well, yeah, all we've had is some rail or some hain. And I was trying to sell, I was trying to say rain and hail. And I was just like, well, I can't talk.
Rail and hain. Got some hail today, too.
Rail and hain. Yes. Yeah. I had to work through that.
So metal bars and underwear.
Yeah. That sounded like
Logan. No.
That sounded like metal bar underwear. I don't know why you're talking about that.
That was pretty
Logan,
good.
Logan, Logan. Hey, Logan, let me translate this list to Spanish for you. No.
Metal bar underwear. That's what I heard him say. That sounds like metal bar underwear.
He's turning red. He's laughing so hard. He's turning red. Anyway.
Rail and Hanes.
True.
That's Hanes.
Yeah.
Okay, I got Rail you.
I got him the first time. So.
It was not worth getting the first time.
Who, I wonder who wears that. The railroad workers?
Heavy metal bands.
Heavy metal. Ah.
Anyway, we're having fun here. We hope you're out there having fun with us. Again, we want to thank Rebecca for sending this to us. Pandemic by Yvonne Ventresca. Published by Sky Pony Press. I encourage everybody out there to pick it up for your collections. It's a good book. I think you'll enjoy it. Appreciate you listening to us, and we will catch you on the next go around. Everybody have a good one out there.
Peace. Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.